Well, good morning. I greet you all in the worthy name of Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you all at Waterworks. I've heard a lot about this church, and I've always kind of been curious where it is, what it looks like, who all goes here. And so I guess I got to thank Steve for the opportunity to be here with you all this morning. It's been a blessing to be here with you all so far, and I do count it a privilege just to be here and to worship with you and to share in your service this morning. Just for an intro into the message, I'm going to start with just a kind of a short little story on the lighter side, just to kind of give you a glimpse of where I want to head this morning. There was a group of friends that went deer hunting and paired off in twos for the day. That night, one of the hunters returned alone, staggering under the weight of an 8-point buck. "Where's Harry?" everyone asked. "Harry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple of miles back up the trail." "You left Harry lying there and carried the deer back?" "It was a tough call," acknowledged the hunter, "but I figured no one's going to steal Harry." Kind of just a silly story there. But the point I want to make this morning is that as human beings, we're all wired with a selfish nature, whether we like to admit it or not. You know, when we like to just, I don't know, we like to put ourselves first. And why do we do that? I think the answer for that is because putting ourselves first is probably one of the most natural things that we do. It's kind of a part of who we are. It's our nature. If you don't agree with me, let me give you another scenario. Anytime there's a group photo with you in it, who do you look at first when you're looking at the picture? You look at yourself, right? You look at the picture and someone over here is looking off in the distance that way. Another person over here has their eyes closed, but it's a good picture of you. Does that make it a good picture? Let me say it again. Putting yourself first is probably one of the most natural things that we do. And I can't necessarily speak for you, but I think that goes for all of us. The world kind of encourages this idea. It encourages my self-obsession. Culture tells me, do what's best for me. I deserve my me time. My needs come first. So I'm gonna focus on myself. But God tells us in Philippians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, I'm just gonna use this one verse as kind of a springboard. Very familiar verse. He starts out that verse says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." And we all know that verse. I'm going to actually read the entire verse in the NIV version, just to simplify it here a little bit. It reads, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." I just want to pause on that for a moment. No behavior, no action should ever be done from selfish motives or vain conceit. That verse continues, "But rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Just think about that for a moment. God's word here tells us to do nothing out of selfish ambition. And then we look at culture, and culture tells us to do the opposite of that. Putting myself first, it sounds good, it feels good, but according to God's word here, it's not good. It's not true. And yet, this is a teaching that I think that's somewhat common, somewhat popular maybe today. People will tell you, you can't truly love others until you love yourself first. So you got to put yourself first. Treat yourself. You deserve it. Self-care is not selfish, because they would say you can't pour from an empty cup. And if that is true, what should we do? We should live for self. You don't need to justify your actions to anyone. And I've even heard people say this. They'll say, you need to cut out of your life anyone that doesn't add value to your life, because you don't owe it to anyone. And don't feel guilty about that. And I think the basis for that idea is because, here again, you come first. Life is all about you. Life is all about what you can get out of life. And so this is a sad yet popular, pervasive message from culture today. And I'm assuming it's probably always been this way to a certain extent. But as I look at just the day and age that I live in, you know, we definitely have become a society. We've become a generation that where we are just, we're really obsessed with ourselves. And so the title of my message this morning is simply Selfish Love. And we're going to look at just a couple of passages to see what God says about a topic like this. I'm going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can turn there. I'd like to read 5 verses to start. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first 5 verses. And I'll give you just a second to turn there. Second Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let me just stop there. Are we living in the last days? Do you think we're living in the last days? If you're not sure, look at what the next couple of verses here say. In the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So here we see people will be lovers of themselves. Do we see that today? They will be lovers of money. Do we see that? They will be boastful. They'll be proud. They'll be unthankful, unholy, false accusers, despisers of the things that are good. You know, do we see that today? How about lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Do we see that? Or having a form of godliness, but denying his power. Here again, do we see that today? People that have the illusion of being Christians, but not, you know, walking in the Spirit. You know, as I look at that list there, that's really all the proof I need to say that, you know what, yes, we are living in the last days. We see that, you know, all around us. But the phrase there's a phrase, a lot of these phrases convict me, but especially that one, they will be lovers of themselves. Because as I think about that, and then I look at my own life, you know what, I kind of fall into that category where, you know what, I do kind of love myself. You know, if I'm not careful, I can become pretty obsessed with myself. You know, like, you know, what's in it for me? What do I have to do? What am I going to get out of this? What are they going to think of me? You know, that's just, you know, as I think thoughts like that, you know, that's just my own selfishness, is it not? And if we're not careful, this self or this selfish love, I think, can just creep into our lives and creep into our churches. And before long, we can start serving a self-centered Christianity. Sure, we know in our heads that, you know, we're called to love God, love other people. We know that we're called to lay down our lives for others, and we know all that. But yet, you know, too often I think we live as if God exists simply to serve us, and that's such a backwards view of life. And sure, we may believe in God, but hide behind this self-centered belief, where we claim to love him, but in reality, we really love ourselves. You know, and if God doesn't do what I want him to do, then, you know what, do I really need God? God, if you're not going to do what I want, then I don't really need you. And I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And it becomes this self-centered version of Christianity. Just think about this. You know, we are, like I said already, we are a generation, we're a culture that's obsessed with self. We're obsessed with self-care. We're going to prioritize ourselves. We're going to guard my you know, me time. We're going to protect our mental health. We're going to do what's best for us. And we do. But yet, even with all of that, I feel like we're still more anxious. We're more stressed. We're more depressed. And why is it that way? Maybe our problem isn't that we don't love ourselves enough. Maybe the problem is that we actually love ourselves too much. And this is, you know, this is kind of hard to admit, but, you know, this is an area that I need to grow in. So what do we do when we find ourselves to have this selfish love? And sometimes, you know, doing the opposite of what Jesus tells us to do. Let's look again at some words of Jesus. Turn with me to the Matthew chapter 22. I want to read a couple of verses here in Matthew. And just look at what Jesus says here in this passage. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So here when someone comes up to Jesus and says, you know, "Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of all?" Jesus says here, there's two things. The first one is to love the Lord your God. He says that's number one. Love God with part of your heart or when it's convenient. No, that's not what he says here. He says, no, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's number one. And then he goes on, the second is love your neighbor. So there's two things, two commands here. Love God, and then with that, love your neighbor. How do you love your neighbor? He says here, love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says there's no commandment greater than these two. So the first one is to love God. Second is love your neighbor as yourself. And I think here's where some people maybe get hung up on this idea of loving yourself. Some people maybe would conclude that Jesus is commanding you to love yourself. And the self-centered version of Christianity will preach a false gospel that tells you can't really love others until you love yourself. And maybe there's a small grain of truth to that. But if you can't love others until you first love yourself, you know, I see that as you have to put yourself first then. You have to focus on yourself. And I just want to remind us this morning, that's not what Jesus teaches. Jesus doesn't teach us to love ourselves. Loving ourselves is not a command. Rather, in this passage, I think it's an assumption. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, because I think he's assuming that you already do love yourself. You know, and let's be honest, we all think fairly highly of ourselves. I think too often we probably think too high of ourselves. So Jesus doesn't really have to tell us to love ourselves. We do that already. It's in my nature as a human being. And some of us might say, well, that's not a problem for me. I don't love myself. There's a lot of things I don't like about myself. You know, how many of you agree that, sure, there are things I wish I could change about myself? So maybe I don't love myself because I don't like certain things about myself. But just think about it. You know, what we don't like about ourselves usually isn't due to a lack of self-love. It's more often usually a result of just, I'm going to say, self-obsession. I'm obsessed with myself. Therefore, I don't like, you know, this, and this about myself. So I think when Jesus says here to love your neighbor as yourself, he's not saying to love yourself, prioritize yourself. He's assuming you kind of, to a certain extent, already do that. So if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, he doesn't say, you know, whoever wants to be my disciple must, you know, pamper himself or live for himself or put himself first. No, that's not what Jesus says here. He doesn't say that at all. Rather, I'll show you what Jesus does say. Another verse I want to read in Matthew is in chapter 16, verse 24. Another very familiar verse here, and I'll just give you a little bit of a context before we read it. The context is Jesus here has explained to his disciples what's going to happen to him. He says he's going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to suffer, he's going to die on the cross. 3 days later, God's going to raise him from the dead. And Peter says, no, Jesus, that's not going to happen to you. We love you too much. We're not going to let them do that to you. And Jesus responds here in Matthew chapter 16, and he says this to his disciples. Look at what verse 24 says. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So as I look at that verse, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, what do we need to do? There's three things here. Deny self, take up our cross, and then follow Jesus. And when we read that verse or that passage today, we kind of just breeze by it. Sure, makes sense. Deny self, take up our cross, follow Christ. But I think there's a little bit more here. When Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross, that phrase there had a little bit extra meaning to the disciples. And I'll tell you why. If you understand the context of this, 30 years before this passage, in Acts 5:37, I'm not going to turn there, you can study this out on your own, but in Acts 5, verse 37, it talks about a man named Judas of Galilee, not the Judas that we're familiar with, not the disciple Judas, this is a different Judas. It talks about Judas of Galilee and a large group of Jews that had revolted against the Romans. And it's a sad story. Sadly, there were hundreds of Jews that were killed for this, and a lot of the remaining rebels were captured. And I'm still researching this. I want to dig into this a little bit more at some point. But from what I understand about this, when the Roman soldiers would capture these rebels, they would tell them to take up their cross, and literally they would have to take up a cross. Drag a cross across town, and when they would drag these rebel Jews would drag these crosses across town in front of the other Jews, and when the Roman soldiers would say, okay, now lay it down, wherever they would lay that cross down, the Roman soldiers would literally hang them to this cross and prop it up right where they laid it down, and this was to make a statement to all the other Jews that, hey, if you also rebel against Rome, this is what's going to happen to you. And supposedly, the Roman government then prohibited or forbid anyone from actually taking these people down off these crosses. And so that these Jews would have to see the dead, naked bodies of their friends, relatives, hanging on these crosses for long, long periods of time. And so that's just a nasty, nasty picture to imagine. So when Jesus says here, when Jesus says, take up your cross, this had extra meaning. This had extra weight to the disciples. The disciples had a mental picture of what that looked like. And so Jesus says, you know, listen to me. If you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. You've got to, you can't put yourself first. You don't say, you know, I'm treating myself. Jesus says, no, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up that cross and follow me. When you come to Jesus, you don't celebrate yourself. You know, look how amazing I am. Look at what I've done. You don't do that. You don't promote yourself. You don't indulge yourself. Instead, actually, it's the idea of dying to self. And in Galatians, Paul talks about that. We're not here again. We're not going to turn to it. I'm just going to reference some verses here. But Paul talks about that idea, and he says, I've been crucified with Christ. And I think what he means by that is he says, you know, the old me, the old Paul, the old Saul, he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It's not my life anymore. Now it's Christ living in me. And I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, you know, my old life is dead. He's gone. Now it's Christ living in me and Christ living through me. In other words, you know, life isn't about me anymore. It's not about my deeds. It's not about my wants. It's not about my desires and my hopes and my dreams, my wishes. You know, Paul says, I'm dead to that old sinful nature. I died to self. Now it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ living in me. And then in Romans, Paul goes on to say, he says, should I continue living in sin? Should I continue living to self so that grace can increase? He says, no, absolutely not. That's not the point. Paul says, you know, we need to die to self. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live, but it's not my life anymore. It's not my life. It's not my desires. Rather, it's Christ living in me. And as I think about that, I think about Paul being just completely surrendered to the Lord. You know, I do want this to be practical this morning. And I want to challenge each one of us this morning. I'm going to ask you a question. And I just want you to kind of think about this. Let this sink in for a while. And the question is this. In what area of your life are you loving yourself more than loving God and loving others? And I just challenge you to think about that question. Be honest with yourself. And just see what God shows you. And then ask yourself, what is God calling you to do about that? And so in what area of your life are you loving yourself more than loving God and loving others? And what is God calling you to do about that? You know, and God has showed me multiple things that I need to work on in my life. And I'll just share one area that probably is relatable to a certain extent to all of us. And that is that I can be a very selfish person when it comes to my time. You know, I like my time. It's Darren's time. And just for an example, one morning last week, I'm at work getting my day started, and someone stops in and says, "Hey, Darren, are you busy this morning? I'd like your help on something." And before I even knew what it was that he was asking me for help with, my thought process was, oh, wow, you know, I am kind of busy today. I kind of have my day already all planned out. I wasn't really planning on helping you with whatever you need help with. You know, what does he want? Can he figure this out on his own? You know, how long is this going to take? I wasn't really planning to add whatever it is he wants. Wasn't really planning on adding that to my day yet. And it, as silly as this sounded, ended up being a very, very minor thing. But later, as I thought about my thought process, I was like, wait a minute. Really? Is that who I am? Is that where my priorities are? Am I really that selfish with my time that I can't help other people? And then I look at the life of Jesus. I study his life and how it's a challenge to me because he always made time for people. You know, one thing I noticed about his life is that every time something special happened, and I call them just little special moments in his life, where he'd, you know, he'd heal someone, or he'd let the little children come to him, or he'd cast out a demon, or he'd raise a dead person. Any of those special little moments were never really planned events in the life of Jesus. None of these special moments were on the schedule, per se. You know, most times they happened while he was already heading somewhere else. You know, he was already on a mission to help a person over here, and he stops and he heals a blind man, or he stops and helps people out. And so now as I think about my life, and as we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind, and then as we, you know, love our neighbor as ourself, let me just propose an idea to you. Is it possible that some of the most special moments with God and with God's people oftentimes show up as interruptions? You know, interruptions in maybe our day, in our schedule, in our week, whatever you want to put in there. Do I notice... or do I take time for, I'm going to call them God-sent interruptions? Or am I too busy guarding my me time? Because you know, I like to that's my time, and I like to guard that. And so this is just something that I've been trying to work on, just to, just be in the moment. If someone stops, I'm going to give them my attention. I'm going to be present, and I'm going to find joy in it. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray with them, listen to them, because honestly, at the end of the day, probably the most important thing I do isn't necessarily what I accomplish, but rather it's how I love. The most important thing we do is not necessarily what we accomplish, but how we love and how we show that love to other people. I don't really want people going around and saying, yeah, Darren, he could accomplish a lot. He produced a lot. He could get a lot done. Sure, those are good things. But what I would rather have them say is, he was a person that loved sincerely. He loved deeply. He loved well. He cared about people. Think about what Christ called us to do, and think about what he didn't call us to do. Let that sink in. Where are our priorities? Culture says treat yourself, put yourself first. It's all about you. Don't let others get in the way of your schedule. Cut them out if they don't add value to your life. Culture says these things over and over again. But that, this is not at all what Jesus says. What did Jesus call us to do and not to do? Jesus did not call us to promote ourselves, but rather he said to humble ourselves. He didn't call us to pamper ourselves, but rather to deny ourselves. He didn't call us to serve ourselves. Rather, he called us to serve others. Jesus never told us to put ourselves first, but rather put ourselves last. Jesus didn't tell us to seek our pleasure. Rather, he told us to pursue God's purpose, and that's a big one. And I think we need to take the words of Jesus seriously. If we're not fighting against the lure of culture, we'll be serving the devil in the name of Jesus. We'll be doing what our enemy wants and still pretending like we're fine, because sure, we go to church and we look like Christians, but in reality, we're serving self, we're serving the devil. That idea of having a form of godliness, but denying his power. And I think there's a lot of people that go to church but have this selfish view of Christianity. Like God's here for us. And I think we need to adjust that. Sure, God is here for us, but we're here for him. We're here to honor him. We're here to glorify him. To be a disciple of Christ doesn't mean we add Jesus without subtracting sin. When we surrender to him, we're called to surrender everything. We step away from, we crucify our sinful nature. We die to self. Jesus said it very simply. You want to be my disciples? He says, what do you do? It starts with first denying self. And then he says, then take up your cross. What he's saying is it's like you're literally dying to yourself, and then follow me. Our calling, the calling of those of us who follow Jesus, it's not self-love, it's not self-affirmation, it's not self-justification. Rather, it's self-denial. Just one more thing, hear me out on this yet. This doesn't mean that we don't take care of ourselves. It doesn't mean we can't take a day off or enjoy life. As I study Jesus and I look at his life, Jesus had to do that sometimes as well. He did take care of himself. Occasionally he did have to just disconnect from the crowds and go and spend time with his Father. Jesus did that. But I think when he did that, it wasn't for selfish reasons. No, he went away so that he could be charged up, be filled up, so that, again, he could come back and then give out some more. And so I think we do need to be careful. If the motive of self-care is only for ourselves, then I would call that probably being selfish. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If the motive is only for you, it's selfish. But if the motive of self-care is to be mentally healthy, emotionally strong, physically honoring to God, and spiritually healthy, so that you can love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so that you can love other people, then self-care isn't selfish. I know in culture it's all about prioritizing self, my time, me time, don't get in my way, you're not adding value to my life, and everyone's, you know, more miserable, more depressed, more anxious, because our problem isn't that we don't love ourselves enough. I'm going to propose that our problem is probably that we actually do already love ourselves too much. And I hope you realize you can't love yourself into happiness. You can't self-care your way into meaningful relationships and daily purpose and inner peace, because self-love is simply that. It's all about self. And Jesus says, deny self. Self-love will never, never ever fill us like God's love can. So therefore, because I already do love, we do already love ourselves, therefore I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to be a living sacrifice. I'm going to love God with everything in me, and I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself. So in conclusion this morning, the question again for reflection, take this question home with you. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. In what area of your life are you loving God, in what area of your life are you loving yourself more than loving God and more than loving other people? And what is God calling you to do about that? Let's all stand and I'll have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you again for who you are. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for Jesus, the sacrifice he made for each one of us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our time this morning that we could dig into your word and pick out a couple different passages and look at what you have to say on this idea of denying self, living for Christ rather than living for ourselves. We thank you for your conviction. We thank you for your correction. God, we know there's no way by ourselves that we can overcome the force of culture and the lies of the enemy, but we know that you can. And so, God, I just pray for each person here this morning, including myself. God, just speak to each one of us. Help us to be overcomers. Help us to just cleanse us from our selfishness. Help us to cleanse us from our selfish Christianity. Help us to be just living sacrifice. Help us to be committed to serving you. And help us to be just the living sacrifice that you want us to be. I pray a blessing on each one that's here this morning. As we go about our lives this week, just help us to serve you with everything that we have. Help us to love you above anything and everything else. And also help us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And help us to see the opportunities out there to show that love. I just pray a blessing on each one here. And thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.